Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. George Wu on July the 2nd by Sue Ellen Chen. And this is the second interview. Last time we talked about the produce market. May I ask more about the produce market business? Since 1927, you started a business here. How many Chinese produce stores in this area, in Los Angeles City Market, say prior to World War II?
Must have been around 50 of them.
50 of them?
Well, 50 or more.
Uh-huh.
They're all small ones.
Uh-huh. And do they actually dominate the city market, or?
No, they didn't. At that time, it was Italians and Japanese and some Greeks all mixed in. The Chinese took about one quarter of them.
Uh-huh. Until when the Chinese
They had more when World War II broke out, when they had the biggest portion of produce.
Uh-huh, I see. Yeah, how many Chinese engage in produce business, including those who work for, you know, other people, non-Chinese produce owners at that time when you started, approximately? Would you say a couple hundred people, or?
I'd say more, close to 350.
Oh, that's quite a few. And was the number increased from year to year, or up to World War II?
No, as we got modernized and unionized, the help decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So we got more drugs and other things that cut down the labor.
Uh-huh. But before World War II,
Before World War II, was the whole market as a whole that had better than 4,000 employees.
Uh-huh. And among those 4,000, how many were Chinese?
I think one third, close to a third.
Oh, including those who didn't own
that owned the own the produce, and those that peddlers that deliver.
Uh-huh.
And so there was more Chinese in here than Italians or anything else working and delivering.
I see. And how about the working hours in the produce market back to the 20s and 30s?
Well, 16, 17, 18 hours a day. All hard workers.
Uh-huh.
Not only the Chinese, but all the rest were that way too.
Uh-huh. It's not only because Chinese working harder, it's just
Competitive.
Until the union formed, then...
That was in the 30s.
In the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then the working hour decreased to...
Yes, they cut it down to 8 hours, 48 hours a week.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you have a sort of shift, like morning and afternoon, or you just do the business in the morning and not in the afternoon?
No,
the 8 hours is from...
Now we have two shifts. In fact, we are early receiving people come in at 8 and 9 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then our delivery boys and salesmen come in around 1.
Uh-huh.
And they put their 8 hours in. So we have staggered help coming in at different times.
I see.
We're open to receive from 8 o'clock at night, and we close our doors around 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we stack our help accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And our office crew comes in from 7 and 8 o'clock, and they work till 4:30.
I see. How about you, as the owner, do you have to come early?
No, I am semi-retired, and I come when I feel like it. But most of the time I come in around 6:30.
6:30. But when you were not, you were fully in charge, what sort of hour you put in? Probably more than 8 hours.
I did just like all the old timers did. Came in early and stayed late. Uh-huh. 12 hours, 14 hours a day.
That's very long hours. And,
no, at that time it wasn't because everybody else was doing it, see.
Uh-huh.
And of course, when you were used to it, it didn't seem like that long, but now it does.
Uh-huh. Yeah, back to like 20s, when they didn't have this union and they worked like 13 to 16 hours, what did they do? Just constantly receiving, constantly selling, or?
We would bring in loads of merchandise in here and sell to whoever wanted it. And they came in shifts, the buyers would come in shifts then.
Mm-hmm.
Like San Diego buyers would come in around 10, 11 o'clock. And then the San Bernardino buyers would come in around 1, 2 o'clock. And then the local buyers would come in from then on to 7, 8 o'clock.
We
would stay up and sell until we got through it.
I see.
The days that we sold out everything, we closed early.
Uh-huh.
The days that we couldn't sell out there, we stayed.
Uh-huh. All these people coming and buy the produce are from different areas. Like,
yes.
How far, I mean, how large the area your market cover?
At that time, the early 20s, very few out of state. But now we have Arizona, Texas, as far as Oklahoma coming in. Mix loads out here now.
I see. So the business is not only local.
No.
It's even in the 20s, it's already reaching different counties.
Yes.
Like San Diego and
San Diego, even as far as Sacramento.
Sacramento.
The people would come in twice a week and load out.
Mm-hmm. What sort of vegetables you sell or produce, fruits? And say from the early days?
The early days was all local stuff that they had, all like potatoes, onions, and cauliflower, cabbage, and a bunch of goods like carrots and beets.
Uh-huh.
And later on we branched into fruit.
Uh-huh.
That was in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Before we handled fruit.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever sell lettuce?
Yes. Whatever they raised here locally we used to sell. And now we're selling, that is one of the items, steady items.
I see.
Right now, my stores consist of five main departments. One department handles lettuce and broccoli and cantaloupes and
mm-hmm.
corn.
Mm-hmm.
And another department just handles strictly tomatoes, cherry tomatoes and big tomatoes. And then the fruit department handles all variety of fruit, citrus fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got another department that handles apples and asparagus and sweet potatoes and yams. That's the other department. What we call the chop suey department, which is the biggest one.
Uh-huh.
We handle eggplant, beans, all varieties, squash, bell pepper, chilies, all mix. Everything that's mixed up, we handle it.
Oh, you handle so many items and...
Yes, we do.
Yeah. When did you start doing business with the lettuce? Because lettuce is kind of hard to handle because of the packing and...
We started lettuce in 1946.
Uh-huh.
Lettuce is not hard to handle anymore. It's all come in a 2 dozen cartons.
I see.
Because all cartonized.
Uh-huh.
And it's dry, it's easy to handle.
Mm-hmm. But how about in the 20s, most of the produce coming, do you have to sort it out and pack, repack, or you just coming and sell whatever is coming into your market?
In the 20s, they never had any standardization act, and they never had every package coming in the same kind of containers.
Mm-hmm.
So we had take lettuce, for instance. We come in 5 different kind of containers. So we would sell it accordingly. If it was a 3 dozen or 4 dozen or 5 dozen, we sold accordingly.
I see. But do you have to sort of sort it out here?
No, it's a different customer would buy different kind and different prices.
I see. So you never have to sort of clean this and put it off?
Now, even now we still have to clean it. If it's left over, you have to trim it up a little and fix it up. Some of it's left over 2 or 3 days, we'd have to repack it.
I see.
Not lettuce, but the other stuff. Okay. Other things like squash and beans and stuff like that.
I see. So when you started, you have only one person, I mean yourself, doing
yes.
the business, and it take you 5-6 years and you start hiring other people.
Yes.
And who are these people? Did you hire Chinese or you hire Mexican help?
It was mostly Mexican help. Because Mexican help was cheaper than Chinese help.
Was that true?
Yes, that was true.
At that time, and then most of the markets would hire Mexican or it doesn't matter, some Italian people will hire Italian
mm-hmm.
people.
Yes, mostly. Well, see, it's awful funny. See, in them days, the Chinese help that we hired was mostly putting up orders and sorting things. And the delivery boys would be the Mexicans.
I see.
Who are stronger and they are built a lot larger than our Chinese are. So they did more of the heavy work.
So I heard in the during the World War II, or before World War II, especially before World War II, a lot of Chinese couldn't find another job, even the college graduate. Graduate from USC and couldn't find a job, and they have to come to produce market and work. Did you have any friend who was like a college graduate and came?
I heard about that too. I know of several of the boys that graduated USC, couldn't do it, couldn't find no job. Some of my cousins even didn't. But I never had no trouble. They never came over and asked me.
I see.
It's one of the funny things, huh?
But when they came here and worked, probably they don't work the heavy work,
yes.
Probably office job. Or
well, even in Depression days and pre-war days, the produce market paid pretty good, and according to the outside trade. Even up today, we have a relative high scale of wages here.
And approximately how much the average worker can make in the late 20s and when you started, and also around the Depression years?
Well, that varied. During the Depression years, they were making around $20 a week, and that was big pay. Then days, not only the Chinese, but they had bread lines out, and you would greet a friend, they generally say, have you got a job, are you working, instead of say hello and how are you. That was during the Depression days.
Yes.
And then when Roosevelt got in the he started different government stuff. And there was average wage at Roosevelt's time, that was 32, 34, 5 at that time, was around $20-$25. But hours were, that was before the union, and hours were long.
I see. But after the union, exactly when the union started?
I can't recall exactly. It could be right in the middle 30s.
Middle 30s. So after the union was formed, did the worker get the higher pay or lower pay?
They
worked shorter hours.
They just worked shorter hours for a while. They were still getting the same wages.
And you would say that it doesn't matter you are Chinese or Mexicans or Americans, you get the same pay?
Yes. In the produce was no difference between what you were.
Uh-huh.
It's what you were that what you could do is what you got.
I see. So how about most of the workers were men, and were there any women?
No. Any of the women that was working was the wives that took care of the books. But no outside women.
I see.
That I can recall at that time.
Yeah, and then that was, start from when the women start participating, even the family member? It was start from the very beginning.
Very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the Chinese didn't have no wives, very few wives in here at that time.
Uh-huh.
So we would have a bookkeeping worker would come in, and we'd have part-time people keeping it.
Uh-huh.
And of course, at that time, we didn't keep good books anyway, because there was no income tax and all that stuff like that. Bother us.
Uh-huh.
Not like now that you have to.
Every single number, huh? So, like, the women would do like bookkeeping, and they didn't do any sort of heavy stuff. How about cleaning job?
No.
It's always like a man's job in the produce market.
Yes.
How much business did you deal with? You know, for example, how many crates of letters? When you were handling the business by yourself, how much business practically? One truck?
We had one truck, yes.
Uh-huh.
But I can't recall what we did.
Uh-huh.
But at that time, money-wise, was so much different than now. We at that time in the early 20s, if we got 25, 35 cents a package, was great money.
Mm-hmm.
When you got 50 cents, it was really a high price.
I
so
see.
Dollar-wise, you can't say.
Uh-huh. Like you would have a whole truck, and you sell the whole truck, and that's it for the day when you were doing your shop. And then later, if you had three trucks, you do business with three trucks. Mm-hmm. And
With extra help.
Uh-huh.
See, before when we first started out, I would go out the ranch and pick up a load, or go out the fields wherever to pick up a load and bring it in and sell it, and then sleep a few hours and go out and pick up another load and bring it back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way.
You would go back and come and pick up another load.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
Every day, see, we do things like that.
But average, you would load up your truck once or?
Once a day.
Once a day. You cannot afford to go all the way back and.
Well, you couldn't. The hours were too long at that time.
I see. Talking about the help, so where did you find these help? So did they come here and ask for jobs?
They came here and asked for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, but that time there was plenty of help.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was looking for help, everybody was looking for a handout, because it was that kind of a depression time almost.
Right. So among those Chinese help you have, were they single men mostly, or they
all
were
single.
All single?
All single.
And they were like recent immigrants at that time, or they new immigrants, or they have been around for a while, or they have both?
Both.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I see. So where did these single people live? I know, for example, you started living in an apartment with some bachelor friends for a while. Was that a very typical lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. That was a typical style.
Uh-huh.
Four or five get together and rent an apartment or a house and cook and eat there.
Uh-huh.
Everybody worked out.
Did they all live around the produce market area, or they?
Yes, most of them lived around. That worked in here, lived close to here.
Uh-huh.
And then in Chinatown, they lived up there, which isn't very far.
Uh-huh. So around here, it's about which street is a residential area? Because this is a big and huge market, and then the San Pedro and Ninth also a big market there.
Well, you see all these here warehouses were all resident. See, all the streets were all resident. Outside of the two big markets.
Uh-huh.
And gradually the buildings got old, and they built warehouses, and the different industry comes in here.
I see.
But them days, Merchant Street, Cooler Street, all of them were all homes.
Uh-huh.
And the same way with 9th Street, 9th Place, 10th Street, they were all homes in there. Mm-hmm.
Was there any sort of a boarding house that, you know, somebody, some family run, you know, boarding room and board, and then provide these bachelor's meal and the room?
No, I don't recall of any of them being a boarding house.
So many of them just handle the daily life themselves without any...
They would get together and all divvy in like a commune, you know.
All co-op or yes. Whatever. Uh-huh. Huh. So, did they participate in any social activities, though, the workers?
Well, they always played mahjong, which is a Chinese. When two Chinese get together, they play gamble anyway.
Uh-huh. And besides of play mahjong, and they probably go to Chinatown also, huh?
Yes, and the more modern ones used to hunt a lot. We used to just go out, you know, where a Belvedere is. Now we just shoot doves and quails and stuff like that. We did a lot of hunting. The group that's in the market group did a lot of that.
I see. And did you go to Chinatown, you know, very often?
Only
since you have the business?
Only time we go to Chinatown when we need the Chinese groceries. Our activity wasn't the same as the Chinese, first generation Chinese. Even though the first generation Chinese that worked in the market did not have the same recreation things that the other ones had.
So what is the difference? Like in Chinatown, people, they would...
They would sit down and play mahjong by days, hours.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't do that because we were more active than they were.
Uh-huh.
That's why we say the hunting
would
go there, and a lot of us went out to the ball games.
Was that because of the non-Chinese influence, American influence, because you were...
No, because in China they hunt like everything too, if you recall.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And in Chinatown, for example, they probably went to the Chinese opera or some sort of...
They didn't have no opera them days.
No.
Once a year, there was a group would come down from Frisco and stay for a week or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But
when there was the opera performing, did you go? I mean, the people from produce.
No.
Because we were more into the hunting and...
And if we were good show, we go show. That's it.
You go to American show?
Mr. Young Flesh wants to see
all the top work.
Oh, yeah. The major decision you have to make, yeah. So, we're talking about the workers' social activities, and so Chinese people in Chinatown would probably not participate in, like, huntings or ball games, and the market people. So you, like, when you went out hunting, you know, you get her, all the friends around here, or?
Yes, it would be a group of us, like the ones that were staying at my apartment, and a few others would get into the car and go out.
Mm-hmm.
All the market people work different hours from the ones in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so most it'd be natural for us to gather a group of with ourselves.
So where did you go?
Sometimes we go out Lancaster, sometimes we go up close to Bakerfield, or right out Ontario.
Uh-huh.
It all depends on what season it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we used to go out to Ontario to hunt doves and quails. See, we went out to hunt jackrabbits and be out Lancaster.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sounds a lot of fun, but that would be like in the weekend, right?
It's just Sunday only.
Sunday only. Oh, is the market open 6 days a week? Or
6 days a week.
How about before the union was formed? Was it also 6 days a week?
6 or 7, all depends how bad you needed the money.
I see. So, but if you open on Sunday, still you will have a buyer.
Yes. Uh-huh. We had both the small Chinese stores that at that time were just open Sunday to clean up whatever they had left.
I see.
So that time their business is was buy and selling. They would have buy from the big houses and go back and sell it to small stores.
Uh-huh. I see. So these people who work for you, did they ever save money? Because they make quite good money, though. And most of them were single people. And
well, they said they made money. They saved money and went back to China every 4 or 5 years.
Most of these single people, they have family back?
In China, they would have wives and family.
So they have to support a family back in China and went back to visit their family.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were talking about the Chinese would work 2-3 years and go back to China and all the money?
They spend all their money that they saved here, and then they would borrow the money to come back over here again.
Uh-huh.
Even the early days when the Chinese farmed, they used to farm big.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be a group of 10, 15 boys get together and they would farm 100, 150 acres in cauliflower and potatoes and onions.
Mm-hmm. And you mean in Southern California?
Oh yes, in Los Angeles County, in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And how they got financed, it would be financed by one big store or person in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. And he would get 25% of the profit, by these all people that's working on there would be working for their portion of it, divide whatever it is, the
mm-hmm.
8th or 10th or 12th of the profits.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So generally the one that financed it would own a grocery store or some kind of a meat market up in here, and they would finance them by giving them all the food and whatever they need to keep the place going. They made good money that way. Cause
how was there any these loan or were produce market owners?
Not them days. We never loaned no money because the Chinese growers would be financed from one big man up in Chinatown.
Uh-huh. But not from the produce,
not from the produce
market. Yeah, I see. And sometimes the produce market owner would have their own ranches and.
Very few of them had that there, because the stores weren't that big.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have that kind of capital.
I see. But would that be helpful that they can supply their own food, their own produce?
Yes,
from their own ranches.
Later on, a few of us did that. See, Louis Produce was one of the first ones that did it. Louis Produce.
Louis Produce. Uh-huh.
Dan Louis.
Uh-huh.
You should get a hold of Dr. Dan Louis.
Uh-huh.
And talk to him.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then gradually more and more of the produce owners went that way when they have enough capital.
When we had enough capital, we would loan different growers fertilizer money,
mm-hmm.
and ship money, which is cartons and boxes,
mm-hmm.
and we would handle their merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our main source of supply now,
mm-hmm.
that we do that now.
I see. So you mentioned earlier these workers went back to China and spend the money, and how did they borrow money to come back? As you mentioned, they send the letter?
Yes. See, now if a man was working for me,
uh-huh.
for instance, and he worked for me 4 or 5 years and went back to China,
mm-hmm.
so he blew all his money out, he would write to me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's a good worker, so I'd send him $1,000 he asked for, or $800, whichever it was. Then he'd work a year or two to pay it off, and then start saving again.
Oh boy. What did they do with the money in China? Did they buy property there, or because they have families there,
yes.
and they build a house or something?
They had enough money to build a house.
Not enough money for that.
If they have, they would, and if they had, they'd buy another piece of plot of ground.
But did they ever think about bringing the family over, though?
Well, at that time, immigration laws wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm. So if the immigration law would allow them, they would bring them over.
Yes.
Or they just plan to work for so many years and then return to China.
This is something I couldn't answer.
Yeah, because you never really, because yourself, you were born here, so you would never think of a return to China. Did you have any relatives in China you know of?
Yes, I was back there in 26, 27.
Oh, 1926? Whole year?
Yes.
Oh.
My grandma was 82 years old.
Uh-huh.
She had the tied up little feet.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Chak-yak.
She has a chak-yak, huh? So 82 years old, and this is grandma on your
father's side.
I see. So you went back by yourself?
Yes.
Who sent you back, though?
Well, my uncle.
Your uncle, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what did you do the whole year in there, 1926 to 1927?
Tried to go to school, but couldn't.
Uh-huh, I see.
Chinese school is funny, you know. It just, if you don't know what they're talking about,
it's difficult to pick up.
They're real difficult because it's all in one room and all different grades and they're all singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely different from the way I learned it over here.
Mm-hmm.
We study to ourselves, but we do not holler and memorize things.